Paul Feinbaum is calling out the SEC. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, I love it. What's happening? I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports, and we are glad you are here joining us, as always, as a part of the show, talking everything Big 12 Conference. And if you're just joining us, hit the thumbs up on the video. Thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that. And drop us that 5-star rating and review on the podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Really appreciate that. Paul Feinbaum is letting it rip against the SEC, and he is so spot on with this take. So Paul Feinbaum was commenting this week about the fact that there is a growing push by the SEC. Shane Beamer, South Carolina head coach, made this case I saw the other day, talking about how the SEC is just such a tough conference. There should be multiple automatic bids for the SEC, to which I say, pound sand. And you know what? Paul Feinbaum is saying the very same thing. All right? And Paul Feinbaum admitted, he's like, I'm a guy that talks to SEC fans 20 hours a week. But right now, the SEC is not in the strongest spot it's been in the college football world in quite some time. So these guys are all complaining about the model of the playoff, but the SEC has not gotten a team to a national championship game the last couple of years. First time that's happened in over 20 years. He cited that. He said that. Paul Feinbaum is calling out his own conference, and that is admirable because he's right to note all of this. You've had Lane Kiffin make the push. Nick Saban has done the bidding of the SEC as well. Kirby Smart, Shane Beamer, they've all done it. And Paul Feinbaum said it's a new narrative, specifically talking about how right now the Big Ten has the juice. He goes, and for somebody, this is a Feinbaum quote, and for somebody who talks 20 hours a week to SEC fans, it's on their minds. I'm sitting there, I've got a million people watching, I'm the, quote, voice of the SEC, but he goes on to rightly note that the SEC missing back-to-back national championship games is a main reason for why they don't have the maybe cachet that they had just a couple of years ago. And these coaches that are out there claiming they need automatic bids because they're in the big, bad, almighty SEC, could you schedule 9 conference games first? Could you do that? I know that that might be a bridge too far for Feinbaum to go down, but that is still the greatest scam going in college football. The SEC, 8 conference games because, oh, it's so hard. And then also that joke of a bye week in late November is just comical. And they've gotten away with it forever because ESPN, for the most part, won't call them out for it. But as someone who's talked to Paul Feinbaum, he's been on this show, and he's a good guest. I like Paul Feinbaum. I think he's wildly talented. And he's really good at what he does. Does he like the SEC? Sure, that's his job. Just like I like the Big 12, he's got some preferential treatment to the SEC. That is what it is. I understand that's his brand. But he's a really good guy. I do want to get him back on the show soon. I'm going to reach out to him when we're done here, try to get him back on at some point in the near future. And I give credit because calling out your own conference, calling out your bread and butter, is not always the easiest thing to do, especially when you got the worldwide leader behind you and writing those checks. But the SEC does not have a leg to stand on this front, and it hasn't had a leg to stand on this front for quite some time. So give it up. Just like I'm not sitting here telling you the Big 12 should have, you know, 2 teams in the college football playoff, I don't think the SEC should. I don't. Once you start going down the road of automatic bids beyond the 1 conference champion, you get to a place where mediocrity can set in. What if there's a year that the SEC only has 1 or 2, let's say 1 playoff-worthy team, and the Big 10 is 4 or 5? Maybe the Big 12 is 2. Maybe the ACC is a couple. Are we going to sit here and just say, well, the SEC gets 2 automatic bids? We don't do that in the NCAA tournament. And there's 68 teams in the NCAA tournament. and we don't give away multiple automatic bids. Why would you do that for a 12-team playoff on the football side? It's absurd. And Feinbaum also went on to talk about how the college football playoff is enough with 12 teams right now. He actually said, quote, "I feel like 12 teams are enough, probably too many, but it's what we have, so we're not going to go backward." He said, "I don't see any compelling reason to add more. I don't care how good you are. I think you ought to prove it. It just smells like a level of elitism that I'm not a big fan of." And that's referring to the SEC wanting multiple bids in the 12-team playoff. So we're fine at 12. Now, I think we're going to 14. That's my take. We're going to 14. Sooner rather than later. We may ultimately end up at 16. But it could be 12, and it could be very simple. All right? You could easily do this where you do first-round games, second-round games, on campuses, seed them 1 through 12, get rid of the byes, get rid of the 1 through 4 being conference champions, just seed them 1 through 12 and do it that way. Do the first two rounds on campus and then do, I guess you'd have to have some byes, right? You could have the four byes, do the first two rounds on the campuses, and then do the semifinals and the championship at a neutral site. That's how you could work this out pretty easily. And we're fine at 12. Feinbaum is also right about that. We're fine at 12. I mean, what's the case to expand beyond it right now? I don't think there's a compelling one outside of what? Outside of, you know, I'm doing the Johnny Manziel. The money, the cash, that's it. That's the only reason to go beyond it at this point. So Feinbaum is on his game, and I am here for it at Heartland College Sports. If you're interested, we've got it right here. Check it out. I'm wearing it if you're watching on YouTube. It is the Heartland College Sports merch shop. I've got right now one of our great new hoodies that is super comfortable. We're about to get pounded with not a foot. They projected a foot a few days ago. Now we're down to about half a foot of snow in Kansas City. And this thing is nice and cozy. We've got 22% off the merch shop right now. So I'll link to the hoodie in the show. And you can also just go to heartlandcollegesports.com and then click on the shop tab there at the top of the page. Don't miss it. Now, some of the other things going on right now in the Big 12. This drove me nuts on Tuesday night. There were some big games in college basketball. I get it, right? A lot going on right now. We're kind of primetime college basketball. Life is good. But one of the great games in the Big 12, Kansas State, Arizona. K-State right now is playing the best basketball in all of the sport. Arizona's on a heater. They're 11-1 in the Big 12. They may win the Big 12. It's an awesome game. And where does ESPN relegate this game to? ESPN freaking Plus. I kid you not. No, I'm dead serious. It is so freaking ridiculous. What's on ESPN? Alabama, Texas, because of course. Because of course Alabama and Texas has to be on ESPN. Sure, Alabama's the number two team in the country. I get it. Texas is unranked. Is it a great game, or is it all about the SEC? The game before that on ESPN was Kentucky and Tennessee. Fine, that's a top 15 matchup. I'll give you that. No complaints there. Can you get the game on ESPN2? Can you get the game on ESPNU? Can you get the game off of ESPN+? I am going to beat this drum until it breaks, because it continues to get worse and worse and worse for the Big 12. Well, they have way too many games that do not end up on cable, do not end up on linear TV, and end up on ESPN+. And some may call this a grandiose conspiracy theory. I don't think it's that. I think what I'm about to say is common sense. If ESPN starts to basically say to the Big 12, "Hey, guys, your numbers are down. What's going on here?" Oh, you mean because we're putting all your games on ESPN Plus? Now let's not talk about that part. "Hey guys, your numbers are down. What's going on here?" Meantime, if you continue to showcase certain teams and one specific conference, what do you think's going to happen for them? Their numbers, their ratings, their viewership totals are going to go up. That's what's going to happen. And that's exactly how you're seeing this play out right now with the SEC and ESPN. The Big 12 has got to get out from under this deal, and I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. And I think Brett Yormark knows this TV industry as well as anybody. He understands how it works. He's a great negotiator. I think he signed that ESPN-Fox deal a couple of years ago to beat the Pac-12 to the market and basically not be the last man standing. You don't want to be the last guy at the party. Yormark knew that. He cut in line in front of the Pac-12 to solidify a deal with ESPN and Fox, and that's what led to the Pac-12's demise. Along with the fact that, you know, their commissioner, George Kliakoff, had his head buried in the sand and was asking for the moon when it's like, bro, you're the Pac-12, calm down. So those stars aligned. The Big 12 saved itself and actually grew and added those four teams from last year. Or I guess they came in, last year, this college athletic season in Colorado, the Arizonas, and Utah, because of Brett Yormark's savvy negotiating. But now the next layer of this is figuring out how to get out from the deal. If ESPN is not going to promote you, if ESPN is not going to showcase you, if they're going to insult your fans by driving them to ESPN Plus for more games than they should, then now it becomes the job, I believe, of the Big 12 to figure out where else to go. Assuming the money is somewhat equal. Now, if the money's, not even close, and ESPN continues to want to pay above market or at least the most money for the Big 12, then it's hard to say to the Big 12, don't take that if that's the best deal on the table. But if all else is equal and you can start getting more games and cutting more deals with Turner, which is TNT, with CBS, and I know we've seen some of that this year, if you can go elsewhere and you can get similar money, the Big 12 has got to figure out a way to do it. That has got to be priority number one, because the ESPN thing has just become a disgrace at this point. I mean, it's just crazy. You've got one of the best games of the night going on Tuesday between K-State and Arizona, and it's relegated to ESPN Plus. It's ridiculous. And this is not one example. This is now weeks. I've been talking about this on the show. I've been writing about it at heartlandcollegesports.com for weeks. And you know what? At some point, you just say, this is very obvious what's happening here, and it's clear why they're doing it as well. On Monday night, now I know the Luka thing was a mess, right? They wanted to air the Luka game over the weekend. He was hurt. Luka goes to the Lakers. I mean, you're probably more than familiar with that story and worn out by it. But they even interrupted Houston Baylor to air Luka's Lakers debut on ESPN. So they overtook the end of the Houston Baylor game and pushed you over to ESPNU, where the game was also airing at the same time. But if you wanted to watch the last whatever it was, 10 minutes of it, you had to go to ESPNU because they interrupted Big Monday for the Big 12 to air Luka's first Lakers game. That is less bothersome to me. Like, I don't want to be outraged by everything. I don't think that's healthy in sports, in politics, in life. That's less bothersome to me. But it's like anything else, right? Like, when you're in a relationship and things start to add up and they start to nag at you and you don't say anything, and then something really small and stupid happens and it sets you off, it's not about that small, stupid thing. It never is. You know that, and I know that. It's about the things that were building up leading up to that moment, and then the dumb thing always makes you snap. I'm not going to let the dumb thing, like Luka's debut for the Lakers, be that thing that makes me snap. It shouldn't make you snap, because there's too much else going on that you can see is a clear insult to the Big 12 conference. And the Luka thing, I think they probably would have done that to just about any game on a Monday night, to be totally fair. But it still is one of those things that you shake your head at and say, when is this ridiculousness going to end from ESPN when it comes to the Big 12? Now, elsewhere in the conference, and we'll get to some of your questions as well here on the show. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Let's help our buddy Matthew out. He posts this on Facebook Live. Pete, I will be in Lubbock next weekend for West Virginia, Texas Tech. Where is a good post-game food spot? Great question. I don't have the answer, but I'm sure that somebody in this audience will have the answer. You know, Lubbock is on my bucket list. I've been to most of the old Big 12 towns. I never got to Lubbock. And I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but it's just not convenient for me for anywhere I've lived in the Midwest. It's really not convenient for anybody anywhere in the Midwest. So I got to get to Lubbock. I'm in Kansas City now. I used to work in Woodward, Oklahoma. I could have driven there maybe 6 hours, but I never had a reason or the time to get down there. So I cannot answer that one for you. But if you can help our buddy out, please do let us know in the comments right now with the show going on. Best post-game food spot in Lubbock, Texas. There should be a caveat in there that it's not going to take like an hour to get a bite to eat. But either way, it's very good stuff. I know there's great places to eat out there. Someone else is just going to have to answer that question for me or for you. Oh, my goodness. Meantime, I want to share some couple of coaching news and notes with you here around the Big 12. Well, Colorado football has lost an assistant coach to Miami. This story came down. Miami expected to hire Colorado's Damian Lewis to work alongside Jason Taylor with the defensive line. You saw this Colorado D-line make huge strides last year. They were tops in the Big 12 in sacks. They came a very long way. It's a great hire for Miami, but frankly, it's also a bad sign for the Big 12 because what it tells me is that the Big 12 continues to struggle to retain top assistants. And right now, I mean, you see some of the deals that are getting out there. Jim Knowles getting $3 million to be a D coordinator at Penn State. I'm not saying you have to do that. But one of the benefits right now to the SEC and the Big Ten, and to a lesser extent, the ACC. I mean, Miami's got its own pool of money to pick out of. But one of the problems right now is that with the TV contracts growing in size for the SEC and the Big Ten, just the money gets bigger. And that means it filters down to the assistant coaches. There's a lot more money right now for these assistants in the SEC and the Big Ten. And that concerns me because the best ones may end up or will end up leaving the Big 12, right? We saw Colin Klein for K-State go down to Texas A&M. We saw Andy Koltenecki leave Kansas and go to Penn State to be their OC. So you're seeing more and more of this in recent years, and to me, that's a concerning trend. I think the Big 12 will be okay retaining its head coaches that are good at what they do, and they'll get paid. I mean, they may not make Kirby Smart money, but they'll get paid enough to say, hey, I don't have to do a lateral move. I don't have to jump to a mediocre SEC or Big Ten job just for some more money if I can win in the Big 12. But it's the assistant coaches that will continue to get rated that can be problematic for the Big 12 teams that are trying to build up these programs and keep these staffs in place. And then also, this move happened earlier in the week. The Detroit Lions expected to hire Iowa State assistant head coach and running backs coach Tyler Roll as their offensive assistant coach. Now, I can't speak to whether or not Tyler wants to be in the NFL. He was the offensive coordinator at North Dakota State before getting to Iowa State. He was only in Ames for one season, but listen, it was a special season, right? He developed Carson Hansen, became one of the toughest runners in college football, finished with 752 yards and 13 touchdowns as a sophomore. So this was a bit of a surprise, it seemed like, especially since it comes pretty late in the cycle. But you can't fault the guy if he's got NFL aspirations, and the Lions are a damn good team right now, right? We know what's going on up there in Detroit. So with all that being said, I'm looking at it and saying to myself, it hurts for Iowa State, but it's less bothersome to me than Colorado losing its D-line coach to Miami. That one hurts more because it feels like you could have kept that guy. It's hard to keep a guy who wants to go to the NFL with a team that was just in the playoffs and, you know, was what, the one seed in the NFC, even though they flamed out. There's not much that Iowa State probably was going to do. That didn't come down to, I imagine, like $250,000 here or $250,000 there. But Colorado losing its coach of its most improved unit to Miami, that one, I admit, does hurt. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. We are glad that you guys are here on the show. We got some responses to our guy Matthew saying go to Spanky's for their famous burgers. Drinks there as well. Also, Torchy's getting some love. I'm not sure if that's the same Torchy's chain that is now all over the Midwest or if that's a local place. I hope it's a local place. The chain is good, but you can get that anywhere. So some good answers coming through. And glad you guys are helping out a listener, a fellow listener at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Glad that you are here. As always, as a part of the show, our merch shop will be linked in the comments. Please hit that thumbs up right now in the video. Leave a comment. It helps so much. It really does, especially this time of year when it slows down just a hair. But we're continuing to grow because of you. And on the podcast, Apple, Spotify, drop that 5-star rating and a review. It does help a lot. We'll see you guys on the website, on the forums. They're free, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.